Okay, there we go. Okay, pray with me for a moment and we will get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for all of your many blessings. And thank you for the chance to come together this day in Jesus' name, to come together in this place, to come together with your word, with the spirit of truth that leads and guides us into all truth, that enables us to rightly divide the word. Thank you, Father, for all of what you're doing at this time, as you are both shaking everything that can be shaken, and light and truth is coming onto and upon and through this earth and revealing all that is and quickening your people to move into all that is and all that should and will be. Father, we just ask that you would quicken us during this time and help every word that's spoken be in line with the truth and resonate in the hearts of all that hear it, in Jesus' name. Okay. Okay, so it's always good to bring scriptures with you if you get a chance. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to start with this one. And this is something that I alluded to when we were finishing up that last series. And we are going to get into this a little bit. Revelation 13 and verse 1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." And it goes on from there. "And then the beast which I saw had was like a leopard." It goes on, goes on, goes on. And many, many times I've heard people preach and speak about these 10 heads, these 10 crowns, the 10 horns, the different crowns, all of those different things. But very rarely have I heard anybody speak about that very first part, which I think is foundational and extremely important in what we're dealing with right now. "And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." So he's on the land and he sees a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, there's... sometimes people have these questions about how is the world that we're in the way that it is. You know, we're in this world and we're surrounded by a lot of different things, and we see all kinds of evil of our day, a lot of terrible things happening. But then the question then comes along the way, how is it that the world is in the state that it's in, and how is this possible? You know, how is it possible that this is the case that we all relate to? And there's an important thing to understand about the way that things have been set up upon the earth and upon the world that we live in. And this principle is hidden in this particular scripture, but we're gonna flesh this out a little bit and see how this manifests and how this manifests in our reality. Okay, keep this scripture in mind going forward. I want to do a compare and contrast. Let's go to two different scriptures. Let's go to Romans 13. I'm going to ask people to think about these things a bit. Let's go to Romans 13. This is something that you've heard many times. Verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do what is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bear not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, and tribute also. And for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all thy dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Lowercase, L-A-W. For this, and that's important, L-A-W, lowercase. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, and this is briefly it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. Now, keep this scripture in mind, and I want you to contrast this one now with, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Now, remember what they've said in Romans chapter 13. I'm going to ask you some questions here in a second. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Verse 1. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, demicure, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore all that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, and demicure, and all the kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set upon the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, and and all kinds of music, that ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the furnace. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Okay, so today we're going to do a little bit of rightly dividing the word, and we're going to ask a couple questions. Contrast Romans 13 with Daniel 3. What does Romans 13 say to us? It says that you got to do everything that the powers say, right? And then what do we see in Daniel 13 or Daniel 3 is we see exactly something contrary to that. Now, the reason and the purpose that this is very important is because there has to be an understanding along the way. First of all, with the scripture, there is questions at times about who meddled with what inside the Bible. There's plenty of interpretations that are out there. There's all kinds of people taking all kinds of liberties. There's all kinds of things that happened, Council of Nicaea, a lot of other stuff. But the Spirit of Truth leads and guides us into all truth. So anytime that you are reading anything, there's lots of truth that's out there, but when you read anything, you've got to let the Spirit of Truth quicken you to show you what something is and what something is not. Because Romans 13 has been used as a justification many, many times for the most tyrannical acts throughout the history of mankind. Because according to Romans 13, you would load people up onto boxcars. You know, according to Romans 13, you would check your brains at the door and you're just following orders, sir, right? According to Romans 13, all kinds of heinous things can happen and take place, and you would think that you are doing something that is okay. Now, in Daniel chapter 3, what we see is we see a contrast. And the contrast is, and I believe very clearly, the difference between that beast that came out of the sea onto the land and those that are under the power and the jurisdiction of the Most High. And you see God honoring those that would be under that which is true rather than that which is created by man and for the purpose of that human, that anti-human agenda upon the earth. Now, what happens and what takes place in this particular situation is they're given an instruction. And many times when these things kind of come up, these challenges along the way, a lot of people will take the easy path and the easy way because it's not, because that's the route that everybody goes. When in Daniel, you'll see at the start of that one, a lot of people went into captivity, but there was only these guys that actually did something even in that terrible situation. And a lot of people that went in with them, there was a lot of those that were brought into the king's court, but a lot of those guys went along to get along. You know, and they were never heard from again. You know, they lived out their days, but they were never heard from again. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were those that had made a decision within themselves to live a certain way, to be a certain way. Despite their external circumstance, their external condition, they made a decision within themselves. And that decision within themselves then would be tested along the way. This was one of those tests. And this test that came was along the way, under whose jurisdiction does your soul yield to? Under whose power do you now, is your soul and your spirit subject to? Now, there's a spiritual principle I learned, you know, back in the day, and I found it to be true. It's the spiritual principle of authority. The spiritual principle of authority is God's plan to protect your life. So this is something that, you know, Dr. Cherry out in Maryland, you know, had shared very well, and God rest his soul. The spiritual principle of authority is God's plan to protect your life. And under that even with the way that God does things, is that he, even when he speaks and when he puts certain things out there, he allows for that word to be proven right and to be proven true. And he will even speak a word, show that, and then he will manifest that, and he will even put himself and allow that word to even, for himself to fulfill that word. So he will even function even under the authority of his own word. He will not go outside of the truth and the bounds of truth. He will allow that truth to be that which shapes the way that he does what he does. So so that's part of the principle of how we also, when we relate to the question of authority is going to be, under what authority do we end up having our life and our experience here? So go to Luke chapter 4. And we're going to see an example of how this one now then is this exchange between Jesus and the devil. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up unto an high mountain, shewed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, there's an important principle in all of this, and it's a principle of a spiritual principle of authority, and it's one that ends up coming out into something which is consent and our willingness to participate in whatever system it is that we're in. Now, when we speak about, and we talked about this a little bit in the last series, when we talk about the word law, right? We've got the whiteboard out here, so if you're listening to this, we'll have to speak over these things. The word law, we've got in that we have land, air, and we have water. Law. Okay? So the law of the land is common law. The law of the air is natural spiritual law. The law of the water is merchant law. Alright? Merchant law, admiralty law, corporate law. Do you remember in the scriptures where it talks about in the last days the merchants of the world were the world's great men? Do you remember that scripture? Yeah? Okay, that's when you go through and you look into some things that talk about the quote unquote end times, and there's a lot of questions about that. But one of the scriptures that's there, it says the merchants of the world were the world's great men. Now, one of the things that's happened, and this is one of the reasons why the world is in the state that it's in, has been that the law of the air / natural law / spiritual law, that is the highest level of principles by which all of us are exist and are engaged in, and that's something that's universal to all. So the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are things that are along the lines of spiritual law, spiritual principles, natural law, higher laws. The law of the land, common law, when America was formed and the U.S. Constitution was created, that Constitution was also done under common law. And with natural law, spiritual law, very much ingrained in the way that things would be done and related. Now, the nature of common law is you can't kill somebody else, you can't steal from people, you don't swindle, and that's pretty much the bulk of it. So if you're not doing those things, it's pretty much live and let live. That's a lot of what common law is. Merchant law and the law of the water is how trade and commerce happened. And that has been where what they've done with that is brought that from the water onto the land and used that as an overlay in what we consider America in order to bring the people themselves into and under a slave system by them not really understanding how this has happened, and by our consent, our participation in it, our willingness to go along to get along. So when you see that story in Luke chapter 4 with the devil, what the devil is asking for Jesus, and there's a lot of different layers to it, but part of it is to submit yourself to my jurisdiction. Submit yourself to my rule, to my setup, and if you do that, here's the seduction. All these kingdoms of the world and their splendor, I'll give them to you. And that, but what is it? It's under a different level of jurisdiction. And so what happens is that when we don't, my people perish for what?
Lack of knowledge,
right? When we don't know what's actually happening to us, then, and we just go along, and then somewhere along the way, we're like, okay, how did this happen? How did I actually end up in this situation? Right? So in this regard, what has happened has been, in order for the enemy to have legitimacy for his actions against humanity, he has to have us willingly participate in his system and us willingly give our consent to his jurisdiction so that he can do the things that he does upon the earth. And when you start to recognize that that's part of how he does it, one of the first things that you start to say as a follower of the Most High is, I do not consent. Now, I do not consent to this. I do not consent to the way that this is set up. I do not consent to the way that these activities take place. I do not consent to the things that are being told to me that are not in line with this, with common law, with natural law, with spiritual law. I do not consent to these overlays that are being given to us by the merchant systems of the world. Now let me tell you a few things that might be a little bit shocking to you, but okay, I'm going to give you some things to look up between this week and next week, and you can check them out for yourself. How many of you know that that Washington, D.C. has, have you ever seen their license plate there? It says, what does their license plate say? It says, taxation without representation. It's actually on the license plate. Washington, D.C. does not have a representative in the Senate or in Congress or in the House of Representatives. Now, why is that, if that is this supposedly the seat of government? Why was that so hard to set up? Well, the reason is because the structure that we think in this country as a government is actually not the government. What we have is we have a corporate overlay in this country posing as a government. So when you have the United States, you see the corporation and not the country. And the people that are there representing, quote unquote representing us, are actually corporate officers in the corporation. That's why you have a president. That's why, have you ever seen that flag that they fly with that yellow border? So it's the U.S. flag, and then you'll see, and there's that yellow border around it. Now, why would you do that? Why would you put a yellow border around our flag? Because it's a different flag. It's a flag of the corporation. So when you see that, you're seeing something else that's coming up as part of the corporate overlay. The reason that D.C. does not have any representation is because there's three places in the world that are set up like this: the Vatican, London, and Washington, D.C. All of these are set up as entities within an entity for the purpose of utilizing that to then grab jurisdiction over the rest of the place by people's not knowing it, but their implicit consent into a system. So by people actually participating in that system that they give us, the result of that is that we end up having, we end up being harvested from that. Now, what you end up having in this country, in America, is not a government. What we have in America is a corporation that does not necessarily have the best interests of the people at heart. And there's a lot of little tricks that the corporation uses in order to get our consent to what they do to us and to the people. They do it through the use of fiat currency. They do it through a lot of tricks with a lot of different documents along the way, everything from your birth certificate to the way that you address a letter, to the way that certain things are signed and done and documented, through the interactions that they have with you, through the exchanges that take place. So this is part of the learning, but one of the things that we have to understand is that you're not dealing with a government, you're dealing with a corporation. And when we start to understand that we're dealing with a corporation, which is that beast that came out from the sea and onto the land for a purpose, and the purpose was to be able to enslave and merchandise humans. And they've done that. And they've been doing that for a very long time. So that's why when people petition the corporation to do something differently, why would they do it any differently? Because there's no incentive for them to do it any differently. Just like there's no incentive for many of these pharmaceutical companies to do things any differently. Their goal is to maximize profit. That's what any corporation does. Maximizes profit at the cost of anything that's there. It's a core pirate. So when we start to understand that that's what we're dealing with, then we can also start to understand how do we approach it. So the first piece to for us is to be able to say, okay, when and where do we consent? Because you've got to take your power back to and be within yourself. So because private you sponsors public you. That's the way that it is to be a sovereign person. You, of your free will and your spirit, decide to, do I choose to extend myself and sponsor this particular action, activity of myself? So do I choose to be on the public square to do this or the other thing? And if that's not the case, you bring that power back to yourself. The trick has been to make straw copies of us. They call them the straw man. So these things that are fictitious representations of us, and use that in the engagement that they have and drag your natural person through all of these other things because of what they're doing to your straw man. And so when your name is in all caps, that's your straw man. You know, if you look at your birth certificate, is it in all caps or is it written a normal way? So your birth certificate, go back and take a look, is in all caps. Why? Because they're making a straw man of you from the very start. If it was your birth certificate normally written, you would have your first letter in caps and the rest of it would all be lowercase, right? So part of what we have to do is to have clarity for how and why the world is the way that it is, and then to discover what kind of tools that we can use to do something about it. It's not just for, we're not in the situation and in the place at this point of throwing up our hands and saying, you know, woe is us. No, actually, you have tremendous power when you start to understand what it is, who you are, and who you are in the midst of all that's going on around us. But the first thing is to be willing to accept the gravity of the truth of what we're facing and what we're surrounded by, and then to be willing to take those first steps. So some of the first steps is to begin to learn and explore and to look into these things, as uncomfortable as they may be, and allow for the truth, whatever it may be, to be the authority under which you put yourself. So like we said, America was established under natural law and common law. That's our constitution, not the merchant or admiralty law. And so what's happened in America is there's been an overlay on top of America of merchant law. And it's for the purpose of harvesting, not helping the people. And you can, once you start to see that and you start to understand that all of these different things that are out there are not there for the purpose of helping. They're there for the purpose of harvesting. And once you see the contrast between them, you can't unsee it. And then you start to realize, okay, well, if that's the case, how now do you bring back your power, right? Just share a little side tip I found out recently. So, for example, Washington, D.C. is set up as its own system. So the people are subject to what happens in D.C. That's why there's no representation. It's a pure democracy there. And under then the rest of America is considered opt-in, quote-unquote, citizens into D.C. under the federal system, which is not really federal. It's corporate. It's just called federal. But it's not federal. It's corporate. A lot of times there's a lot of wordplay and a lot of obfuscation of what's actually going on through the way that they hide and the way that they shield the use of language. It's very, very, if you look at it, the wordsmithing is incredible. L-A-W, capital L-A-W, capital L, lowercase A-W, lowercase L-A-W. Those are three types of law. They're all pronounced law. Which one are you referring to? L-A-W, capitals, all caps, capital two lowercases, or all lowercase. So each one of them is something different. And so when you're talking about lowercase L-A-W, many times what you're talking about and speaking about is referring to Admiralty merchant law, and corporate law and corporate exchange and how everything happens in that world and in that term. Now, if you subject yourself to that, the way that it works as far as jurisdiction goes, the highest jurisdiction is the law, natural law, spiritual law. Next one down is common law. And then a lower jurisdiction is admiralty, merchant law. And then you go down from there to further levels. So you can have jurisdiction, for example, inside of a company. You know, you have a company, you've got company policies, things that people do inside of a company. But if there's a conflict within that company and you need to, somebody's making you work 25 hours, you know, a day, not possible, but no, so somebody says, okay, you've got to work 18 hours every day for the next, you know, 360 days and you get 5 days off at the end of the year. Like, yeah, it's just the eyes get big, right? Yeah, okay. But if somebody said that, and that's their jurisdiction because you're in their company, but that's a violation of a lot of different things. So you go up to one more level of jurisdiction and you can right that wrong. But what happens is that people think that they're under the law of the land in America, but they're really under the one level in, a lower level of jurisdiction through merchant law, corporate law. So that is our court system in this country. That is many of the different structures that are around us. That's the way that money is used. I don't even want to use the word money. It's fiat. And fiat is a trick in and of itself. Because, you know, according to the Constitution, only gold and silver and silver-backed notes could be money in this country. And so what they did was they brought the level of jurisdiction in one level under corporate and then issued these receipts. And what you ended up getting was, here's this paper you can swap with each other and you get to discharge your debt. You get to trade these and not have to actually cover it with actual money. But now the result of that is that now you've got a benefit from that. And so now you also are compelled to follow the jurisdiction because your participation in it. So by using it, you get a benefit, which is you don't actually have to use real money, but now the result of it is then you're also complicit in the system, and now you're under the quote-unquote jurisdiction of that system. Does that make sense? So what do we start to do? Well, you start to understand that you can actually start taking steps out of that. One of the things, too, is that you... have you ever seen that statement, without prejudice? We were talking about that recently. So without prejudice, I've seen that stamped in passports and things like that. And I never quite understood what it meant until somewhat recently. But it basically means that you reserve your rights to not be implicitly bound to any type of contract or agreement without your knowing, explicit, and purposeful engagement in that agreement. So if somebody says, oh, you did this, so that must mean this. You know, you went on a date with me, so that must mean this. You know, it's like, no, actually, somebody went on a date with you. It doesn't mean anything else beyond that. So it means that you're going to marry me, right? So it's like, no, like you just went on a date. So it doesn't, so the as far as when you start to understand the different tricks that are used to get what they believe is our implicit consent, you can start to then withdraw that consent one piece at a time in your life and stand up your life as a sovereign person. And that beast that has come out of the sea, and we'll flesh this out a little bit more, but I just wanted to give an intro on this one today, that has been part of the way that the enemy of our soul has used the system to enslave every man, woman, and child upon the earth, and to treat every person upon this planet as a piece of the corporation to be bought, traded, and sold. And this is why most people feel like they can never get ahead in life. They feel like they can never stop. They're always just, they're on a boat with holes in it. They've got a bucket with holes in it, and they're just continuously bailing all the time, and they can never stop. And the only thing that they feel like they can do, the best they can do, is try to hire somebody else to bail for them. But if that person is bailing out the boat for them, they can never still rest easy because they still know the boat's full of holes. That's a system of harvesting by design that all of us were tricked into from the second we got here. And once we start to understand that, we can start to remove ourselves from it, because that was not what life is. That's not what life was meant to be for you, or for you, or for me, or for anybody. That is not what life was meant to be. Our life, we came into this world abundant. We came into this world wealthy. We came into this world not debtors, but sons and daughters of the Most High. And as a result of that, that is our destiny here. Not just something long, you know, no, actually here. But we have to claim that and move into that place and move into that power. But part of that is to also understand how we've been tricked away from that and what we can do about it going forward in the days ahead. So that is the intro for the start of this part one, the beast out of the sea. We will pick this up a bit next week. So with that, let's just pray and we'll close for here. Yeah? Heavenly Father, we want to just say thank you, Father, for this day. And Father, we just want to ask that you would, in these next days and weeks and months ahead, that you would continue to help all of us, Father, everyone that is also listening to this in the days to come, help us to all understand, Father, that you have a system for your people that is abundant, that is by your design, that is not a harvesting, predatory, pirating, core pirating beast system, but one that is built on the principles that you have put forward for your people to action upon this earth. And so, Father, I ask that you would quicken your people in this day and in this age to move forward in that which is true and that which is real, in strength and the understanding of who they are and who they are in you. We just want to bless each other right now, this day, in Jesus' name. And we ask that you would be with us as we go into this week. May this be the most incredible week, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.